I have a question, Violet said, although the truth of the matter is that she had many questions. Most of them began with the phrase, how can you? How can you force small children to work in a lumber mill was one of them. How can you treat us so horridly after all we've been through was another. And then there was, how can you pay your employees in coupons instead of money? And how can you feed us only gum for lunch? And how can you stand to have a cloud of smoke covering your face? But none of these seemed like questions that were proper to ask, at least not out loud. So Violet looked at her new guardian, right in his cloud, and said, what is your name?
Never mind what my name is, the man said. No one can pronounce it anyway. Just call me Sir.
I'll show the children to the door, sir, Charles said quickly, and with a wave of his hand, the owner of the Lucky Smells lumber mill was gone. Charles waited nervously for a moment to make sure Sir was far enough away. Then he leaned into the children and handed them the peach. Never mind what he said about your already having your lunch, he said. Have this peach. Oh, thank you, Klaus cried, and hurriedly divided the peach among himself and his siblings, giving the biggest piece to Sunny because she hadn't even had her gum. The Baudelaire children wolfed down the peach, and under normal circumstances, it would not have been polite to eat something so quickly and so noisily, particularly in front of someone they did not know very well. But these circumstances were not at all normal, so even a manners expert would excuse them for their gobbling. You know, Charles said, because you seem like such nice children, and because you've worked so very hard today, I'm going to do something for you. Can you guess what it is? Talk to Sir, Violet said, wiping peach juice off her chin, and convince him that we shouldn't work in the lumber mill? Well, no, Charles admitted. That wouldn't do any good. He won't listen to me.
But you're his partner, Klaus pointed out.
That doesn't matter, Charles replied. When Sir has made up his mind, he has made up his mind. I know he sometimes is a little bit mean, but you'll have to excuse him. He had a very terrible childhood. Do you understand? Violet looked at the painting of the seashore and thought once again of that dreadful day at the beach. Yes, she sighed. I understand. I think I'm having a very terrible childhood myself.
Well, I know what will make you feel better, Charles said. At least a little bit. Let me show you the library before you go back to work. Then you can visit it whenever you want. Come on, it's right down the hall.
Charles led the Baudelaires down the hallway, and even though they would soon be back at work, even though they had been offered one of the least fair deals ever offered to children, the three siblings felt a little bit better. Whether it was Uncle Monty's library of reptile books, or Aunt Josephine's library of grammar books, or Justice Strauss's library of law books, or, best of all, their parents' library of all kinds of books, all burned up now, alas. Libraries always made them feel a little bit better. Just knowing that they could read made the Baudelaire orphans feel as if their wretched lives could be a little brighter. At the end of the hallway was a little door, and Charles stopped at the door, smiled at the children, and opened the door. The library was a large room, and was filled with elegant wooden bookshelves and comfortable-looking sofas on which to sit and read. On one wall was a row of windows, which let in more than enough light for reading, and on the other wall was a row of landscape paintings, perfect for resting one's eyes. The Baudelaire children stepped inside the room and took a good look around, but they did not feel any better, not at all.
Where are the books? Klaus asked. All these elegant bookshelves are empty.
That's the only thing wrong with this library, Charles admitted. Sir wouldn't give me any money to buy books.
You mean there are no books at all? Violet asked.
Just three, Charles said, and walked to the farthest bookshelf. There, on the bottom shelf, were three books sitting all by themselves.
Without money, of course, it was difficult to acquire any books, but I did have three books donated. Sir donated his book, The History of Lucky Smell's Lumber Mill. The mayor of Paltryville donated this book, The Paltryville Constitution. And here's Advanced Ocular Science, donated by Dr. Orwell, a doctor who lives in town.
Charles held up the three books to show the Baudelaires what each one looked like, and the children stared in dismay and fear. The History of Lucky Smell's Lumber Mill had a painting of Sir on the cover, with a cloud of smoke covering his face. The Paltryville Constitution had a photograph of the Paltryville Post Office, with the old shoe dangling from the flagpole in front. But it was the cover of Advanced Ocular Science that made the Baudelaire children stare. You have heard, many times I'm sure, that you should not judge a book by its cover.
but just as it is difficult to believe that a man who is not a doctor, wearing a surgical mask and a white wig, will turn out to be a charming person, it was difficult for the children to believe that advanced ocular science was going to cause them anything but trouble. The word ocular, you might not know, means related to the eye, but even if you didn't know this, you could figure it out from the cover. For printed on the cover was an image that the children recognized. They recognized it from their own nightmares and from personal experience. It was an image of an eye, and the Baudelaire orphans recognized it as the mark of Count Olaf.
End of Disc 1.